echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a business podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations innovate and grow value in a digital world. Episode 35, Going Inside Baseball, Data-Driven Audience Engagement. Today, we'll discuss how Major League Baseball is transforming audience experiences and telling richer stories with data to engage audiences today and nurture the fans of tomorrow. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris Hood, a digital strategist at Google Cloud. Thank you for listening. I am pleased to welcome Carrie Zuhl, telco, media and entertainment and gaming campaign lead for Google Cloud. Hi, Carrie. It's great to see you today.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having us today. I'm so excited and looking forward to our conversation with one of Google Cloud's most exciting partners in the media space, Major League Baseball.
Me too. I go all the way back to my childhood attending Cincinnati Reds baseball games and collecting Topps baseball cards. I'm sure I've got a ton of stories here to share throughout today's episode. I'm really excited to talk about this.
Yeah, me too. I think really in today's world, media and entertainment organizations are really striving to set themselves apart and engage audiences in a new way. And at the heart of the how they do this is really data, which is why I'm excited to dig into this topic today with Josh Frost, Vice President of Product Management and Baseball Data at Major League Baseball.
Yes, welcome, Josh, to That Digital Show. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Really excited to be here. Thanks, everybody.
So one of the things we do to start off every episode is ask our guest, what is the last thing you downloaded? So is there something that you've recently watched, listened to, downloaded that you would like to share with the audience?
Well, the very last thing that I downloaded was actually a report from Looker on our new Oops bracket. We have a really fun fan engagement bracket that we built. It basically asks fans to rank the funniest bloopers of the last 20 years. And it's one of the funnier, lighter sides of baseball. You know, you're talking about your memories, Chris. I remember watching VHS tapes as a kid of baseball's best bloopers and could probably still recite all of it to you. So it's fun to have a more modern version of that. Yeah, just trying to make sure that I always enjoy the lighter side of something is what I think about when I'm thinking about the last download that I have.
So interesting. I mean, I remember my brother watching those same blooper reels as well. Well, Josh, we're so grateful to have you with us today. I feel like you have one of those jobs that just lots of folks dream about. So why don't we start by you telling us a little bit about your role and kind of the path that led you to MLB?
Yeah, so I've been very lucky to be at MLB for quite some time. I started here in 2008, worked at Barstool Sports for a couple years as well. And my role on our product management team is to lead our baseball data vertical. So what that means is that we're responsible for the capturing and storytelling of baseball because data is so essential to everything that baseball is. Back to 1869 when it was first started, this has the earliest origins of really trying to tell a story of the serial nature of baseball. So our products start every time that a pitch is thrown on the field. So we have several systems that not only capture each data point that happens with it, but then are responsible for ingesting it, normalizing it, publishing it, and then all of the downstream products, both internal and customer facing, that rely on it. So every time you're looking at a scoreboard, whether it's on MLB.com or a partner site, if you're opening up a live stream, you know, all of that is being powered by data that our team helps to operationalize and manage. But, you know, it's more than just a platform. It's about trying to really drive the customer experience forward. So it's an awesome problem set to work with.
So Josh, you started off talking a little bit about the history of Major League Baseball. And I want to let the audience know some more of that, because I think it's going to be very interesting to see this transition between where we were, like you said, back in the early days of baseball, to where we are today, and even as we look forward to the future. So let's start, just share a little bit about baseball.
Yeah, baseball is truly the quintessential American sport. It started in a lot of loosely organized games, primarily around the New York, New Jersey area, and has grown with the, if I'm saying this correctly, the founding of the National League, I believe, 1869, and then American League in the early 1900s. And the first World Series was in 1903 between the winner of those two leagues. And the expansion of baseball has largely mapped with the expansion of the population of the United States. So primarily an East Coast sport when it moved with its first West Coast team Los Angeles Dodgers. You know, there are still people in the New York area who bemoan the Dodgers for leaving Brooklyn and going to Los Angeles. But if you look all the way today, some of the best baseball in the league is being played in Los Angeles and San Diego and Anaheim, Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. So just this great national game, and then has really been blessed to expand internationally with just mega, mega stars over the years between, you know, obviously Shohei Ohtani is a popular example now. Ichiro Suzuki has been really popular as well. Just picking on the Dodgers again, Fernando Valenzuela, all these great players that have given it a really international flavor and feel. So baseball has just been blessed with really great stories to tell that a lot of people can relate to. So that's kind of like the history of it. On the more technical side, I like to trace the history of baseball. I mean, you could go on and on about this. The more modern era, there was a division of baseball called MLBAM, Major League Baseball Advanced Media, that was founded in 2000 and really started this kind of hypercharged effort into not just technology, but consumer technology to deliver baseball to where people were. So that's where you saw this huge rise in streaming technology, mobile technology, even early social media. And there's been a lot of success that's happened with that. Probably two of the biggest achievements that came out of that group, which is now part of Major League Baseball proper, it's no longer separate, is the MLB app. That's what we call it today. It used to be called the At-Bat app, and it was one of the first 500 apps published in the App Store when the iPhone launched, the App Store with it in 2007 or 8, I believe. We've been blessed to present as keynote speakers many different Apple product launches, and with partners Google and Google Play, and the strides that we've made there have been great. So just kind of this great mobile development space as that has evolved. And then on the streaming side, if anyone here is a Disney Plus subscriber or ESPN Plus subscriber, that's all built on technology that originally came from Major League Baseball. So baseball kind of originally solved the problem of streaming at scale, because there are around 15 games a day with home and away broadcasts. Like, we were doing live streaming and over the top back, I believe, in 2005, when the first MLB.TV product came on as a real media player, probably at like 56K or something silly like that. So just been this great evolution where trying to consistently push the envelope and deliver something that has been a big success. So it's been fun to be just a small part of that journey.
That's awesome. I think really talking about the rise of the smartphone and kind of the broader media context is really relevant, because I think the way that audiences are consuming and participating in content has not only evolved, but kind of quickly evolved. So what types of challenges and opportunities does that evolution present for MLB today?
Yeah, I think what's been interesting for us is that we've always had very good discipline about kind of like collecting data and making sure that we have things that we think will either help improve the customer experience or make us smarter as a business. But we haven't always been great at using it and using it intelligently. And part of that is kind of just corralling it, right? Like, just having it certainly isn't enough. And there is a challenge in maintaining it properly. But we've evolved in the last several years in really trying to step up our game for how we use it to improve the customer experience. And there's been a huge focus on personalization for us. Certainly on the consumer side, there are aspects of it too for our internal products, which are pretty lengthy. And when I say internal, I don't just mean like for our little tech and product organization, but rather we serve all 30 clubs, right? So like one of our most important customers are typically the baseball operations departments of all 30 teams. So like we have to really think about an extremely diverse set of stakeholders. So, you know, like any other business, we're thinking about how do we evolve our product to meet our customers' modern needs.
You've talked a little bit in previous conversations with you and I about this generation of new fans that's coming on board and how you're engaging them and how that fan base is changing and how you're engaging with them is changing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. The example I always like to give is the box score, right? So the box score is something that was really designed for a newspaper that certainly my four-year-old son has never read and may not probably into the future, but he still is excited about baseball. For us, as we think about the next generation of fans, like one example that we have that has performed really well is MLB Stories. So this is basically like a mobile-first video summary that allows us to basically tell in a really small, condensed way what happened in the game. And it's really kind of like, you know, many other stories products, but you can tap through the video highlights for a game, right? that is way more likely to get my son to not just engage, but to understand what happened in a brief summary versus reading a box score.
I think that's one of the critical challenges that we see across all of media and entertainment, and really across all industries. It's how to engage with your customers or your fans in new, unique digital experiences. We all are attached to a digital device in some way. Everybody is sitting around with a different device, engaged with a different activity, and creating that dynamic, rich environment to attract the future of baseball fans is going to be the biggest challenge, right?
Yeah, for us, it's really about delivering value to the customer. There are many aspects of our business, but the ones that I like to focus on is storytelling. There's a great line from the movie version of Moneyball that I always love, you know, how could you not be romantic about baseball? And that to me is a superpower that we have that we always need to consistently lean into, which is the storytelling aspect of it. And, you know, I think that there are so many demands on our attention, on our wallet, on everything else in today's modern age, that baseball provides a really unique opportunity to believe in something bigger than yourself. I also believe in the superpower of aligning with people from your region, from your city. You know, I'm a very proud Chicago Cubs fan, and all it takes is seeing someone else in a Cubs hat for me to be able to probably have a 90-minute conversation with them. I think that is a really special ability, and it's up to us to create not just products, but avenues on and off platform that allow people to really enjoy that. It's a gift that we have to make sure gets shared and passed down.
So you mentioned Moneyball, so I have to go there. Obviously, Major League Baseball has been flooded over the years with data. If we just simplified this, the data of baseball. But when we make that transition and we take that data to enrich the viewing experiences, how are you merging those two together?
Yeah, I mean, the blessing and a curse, right? We have so much data, but how do we know how to sort through it, you know, signal from the noise, and how do we enhance the viewing experience? To me, one of the lessons that we always try to focus around is context. We have all this incredible data, exit velocity or sprint speed or something else like that, right? But what does that really mean? You know, okay, so they're running at exit velocity of 105 miles an hour. That sounds high, but like, why is that better than 100? One breakthrough that we've started to make recently is using visual storytelling to help give context. So we have some new advancements in pose tracking, which basically represents in a 3D space where a body is standing on the field. So it's like kind of like a video game-ish representation of a player. I was just looking at a play yesterday, 2 days ago, of Trevor Story, shortstop for the Colorado Rockies, who has a great vertical leap, not a particularly tall guy. And, you know, I was looking at the stat that he jumped however many feet he jumped. I mean, don't remember. But we were able to use pose tracking to show him in his kind of like ready position where he's standing, knees bent, and then the absolute apex of where he jumped in order to catch the ball. And then we were able to show you, like, here's basically a freeze frame of him, totally extended glove in the air, and then here's him standing down. And then when you see those together, you're like, oh my God, that's incredible how athletic he is and how talented he is to make that play. But if I told you that he jumped 8 feet, if I told you he jumped 18 feet, you probably wouldn't even really care. But to see it, there's always kind of an assumption when someone says data that it's a spreadsheet or that it's a number, right? And to us, it's really, if we're going to try and push the viewing experience or just the interactive experience forward, we can't be bound by that. That is not ultimately going to engage or interact with someone who isn't already a baseball fan. And I think that's where we need to keep pushing ahead.
You just talked about the visualization of this data to enrich the experience. And one of those projects that you've worked on very deeply is StatCast. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of how that's helping drive engagement?
Yeah, StatCast is this amazing program that we started in about 2015, where we came around saying that we need to capture at a higher level of fidelity what happens on the field. And it started with ball tracking, but we now have evolved to what I was referring to earlier as pose tracking, that not only can we track the ball at super high accuracy in a 3D space across the field, but we'll also be able to track player movement. And originally, as of just maybe 2 years ago, the furthest we could get with that is what we like to call XY coordinates. So it could really track on a two-dimensional plane where someone was moving on the field. But now we have three-dimensional data that is more than just what we lovingly, or I lovingly always call the blob, like just kind of like a big circle or space as a player, but we are actually getting approximately 18 points on the human body so that you can see this incredible skeletal movement, right? And all of the advancement there has really evolved StatCast into this multidimensional program that serves many different customers. Obviously a critical tool for research, analysis, and evaluation for not just MLB clubs, but the players themselves, the players association, everyone is using some flavor of that data to better understand their performance. In fact, like one of the more recent trends, not this season, but in past seasons around home runs, is largely credited towards the understanding of launch angle and exit velocity. So as players better understand how to adjust their swing to optimize their launch angle, more home runs were being hit. You could really point to StatCast and say that that was the origin of this huge movement across on-field performance. Similarly for StatCast, the fan experience, in my opinion, and not just for end customers, but writers, commenters, really across the vertical, have really evolved their deep understanding of how to evaluate someone's performance, knowing that you can start getting really detailed data. This is something where it's a incredible feat, technically, to be able to reliably capture, publish, and share and normalize that data. But me on the more of the product side, I'm always interested on how do we make it something interesting and useful that will be high impact.
Yeah. And I think not just normalize the data, but do it in real time, right? You guys are processing something like 253,000 data points per second in the game. And I think that's just really extraordinary.
I'll give a good example. I was at the Home Run Derby at Coors Field in Colorado, and I was sitting in one of our like operational centers, and to see the ball fly and then have it pass on a screen, which is basically like a scrubber of sorts so we can validate the data. But as soon as it gets validated, to hold my mobile phone in my hand and then to see it appear in less than a second is still magical to me, to know that like my dad, who's in Chicago watching at home, on his device is seeing it just that fast, moments after it happens in real life, is great. The scale gets a lot of oxygen, as it should, but the speed is just as incredible for the way the system has been able to perform. And this is a huge team that focuses on it and is really best in class.
Agreed. So you talked a little bit about kind of even just the hybrid and of physical experience and kind of your dad watching. What are the other ways that you all are kind of extending that engagement, maybe not in the game? So I think one of the most innovative ways that you all have been pulling this together is exploring all of the MLB untapped content. So when you're not in a game, but there's so much content out there that people can engage with and build community around. Can you share a little bit about that project, MLB Film Room, and what you were trying to solve for?
Yeah, that's something that has been really exciting to work on. And I'm particularly proud of it because it came out of a hackathon. Film Room is our video vault or library, for just a simpler description. It has 5 million plus video clips, and it has every single pitch in regular season and postseason dating back to 2016. And then it has clips as old as 1923. So just a massive, massive library. And baseball has always kept pretty good video of everything. But what makes this special is the metadata that is attached to all this. So the reason why I explain it is that the video, particularly the pitch by pitch that dates back to 2016, is super powerful because it's associated with all of our StatCast data. So right now you can go to MLBfilmroom.com and you can start searching to say, I want to see Shohei Ohtani home runs over 400 feet, right? But if you say, hey, actually, I want to understand maybe like less modern, but more like patterns, that's where this becomes really powerful. So then you can start searching for, show me all Clayton Kershaw curveballs against left-handed batters in a night game. And then show me the ones where he paints the outside corner. And then show me the ones where the person actually made contact, and on and on and on. I mean, it is literally infinite for the number of iterations and combinations you can search, because it's taking all of the metadata that we have and marrying it with our video content. So this is a really big success for us. And one of the features that's been really fun is that we have the ability to create reels. So basically, as you either construct these searches or start collecting content, you're able to make a custom list effectively of content and then mash it together into a reel.
I think what's really cool about FilmRim is that it gives you something for the baseball purists, people that want to drill down hyper-specific. And then you've also got the highlight reels and the trash-talking reels. And even just going back to, my brother loves Nolan Ryan. So I was able to pull a reel together for all of his great no-hitters. And it's been just really fun to play around with, I think, to foster that community and sense of engagement for a new generation of baseball fans as well.
And of course, your film reel must have bloopers, right?
Yes, definitely. It's funny. I was just thinking about that. As we look at some of the top searches across there, bloopers always ranks high, not top, but I love seeing it in there. You were mentioning Nolan Ryan. I always think about the fight between Nolan Ryan and Robin Ventura when he charged the mound. I was actually watching that recently. I think the anniversary just came back. Poor Robin Ventura. We love empowering stuff like that to help create fun conversations. The lightheartedness of baseball is something that will always appeal to me, and being able to see that along with these incredible athletic performances always create a lot of good drama.
You talked a little bit about using this data, right, for the external fan engagement, but I think there's some power in data and AI for your internal production team, right, to tell those richer stories in real time. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, for us, the data that we get from fan engagement helps us model out and understand what are the types of stories and products that people want to see. And as we evolve our machine learning products to help develop either more personalized video recommendations or even video playlists or the things that kind of people expect almost regularly in a traditional kind of like media destination these days, we're definitely using that to help power our experience. I think what's been fun and interesting is that because baseball is still very scenario oriented, you can do a lot of intelligent forecasting and say, I'll give another example. So we're working on an existing product called Game Day. One of these new features is trying to figure out which are the top moments of a given game to highlight, right? So it's a very debatable question. What is the top moment of a game? And we're able to use a really rich set of data to help test different algorithms to understand, is 8 the right number? Is 15 the right number? If we use this formula and project it over 2,430 games, like, you know, what's the average number we're going to get? So like, there is a very interesting data science problem to help create something that years ago would be kind of like a barroom debate. So this is something where it's like way more objective in a great way.
Well, how about this? What are some of the lessons you've learned throughout all of these journeys and developing different types of platforms and applications, these experiences, especially with Google Cloud? How have we helped you? And what are some of the lessons that you would like to share with others who are listening?
Yeah, one of the products that I've been most excited about with Google Cloud is BigQuery and kind of all the dependencies that that unlocks for us, knowing that we can effectively turn our team of product managers, our teams of analysts, et cetera, and engineers as well, into local decision makers, right? I think sometimes data was either intentionally or unintentionally kept in a moat somewhere. You could go in, you could ask a question, but you never really felt like you were an owner of it. But between Looker and BigQuery and some of our other products, people are really the owners of their data now in a great way. That means that they're able to not just answer questions, but really empathize better. You know, one of my core personal beliefs and product management beliefs is that empathy is perhaps the most important attribute that anyone can have, period, but particularly if you're trying to be a good product manager. And when you're working with larger audiences like we are, you can sometimes feel disconnected, right? Everyone's just a number. But getting someone to really understand the data around their product, their tech stack, whatever it is, the best way to say it is if you're working on a ticketing services application, or even for us for baseball data, right? If you have a 0.01% outage or something like that, that can be a number, or it can be like, wow, like I literally don't have a scoreboard right now when I'm trying to check the score. So like, that's where we want to build in that customer empathy, and having people get their hands much dirtier with the data has been really effective for that.
So Josh, as you think about the hybrid environment of physical and digital and a lot of what's happened this year and the past 2 years now, as you really reflect on what your team's accomplished, what are you most proud of?
You know, there's a lot to be proud of, mostly in that our like team has continued to deliver products and supported really irregular baseball seasons. But again, like we are so lucky to have a baseball season in light of everything that has gone on. And to see the support and return of the fans who are really interested. But I think probably the biggest takeaway of it for me is really kind of smashing the lines between like physical and digital and just saying that you can be a really intense baseball fan. You can have a passionate relationship about your team, your players, without needing to leave your home. Obviously, we think there are great experiences by going to the ballpark. But I think back to March and April 2020, and seeing just the really novel ways that fans and teams and players were engaging and interacting kind of when there was not many other opportunities to do so. So to have just like a seat at that table to see that happen was really fun. I think everyone genuinely wanted to stay connected. And that's really what all of it's about. And for the same reason, that is very unifying. So to have even a small, small part is a great point of pride for me.
Just what you mentioned, really around even the products you're creating. Film Room is another way to connect and have that community while we're all at home and build that engagement, but also build that connection to baseball. So just think it's very cool that we've witnessed a lot of that through these difficult times. I think let's end with a future looking question as we look forward in this rapidly changing direct-to-consumer world where I think a lot of the engagement is happening in your smartphone and you're able to kind of find these different communities. I'm curious on your perspective, what does the future of audience engagement look like for sports and media organizations?
Yeah, I think personalization is a trend that will continue. I see people expecting a really tailored experience that ultimately reduces friction, right? There's certainly like a utility aspect to it. Like, how does this make my brand or affinity experience more useful to me or just easier? Think about all the friction you can reduce inside that space. I think also beyond personalization is a real opportunity for this kind of like surprise and delight. I think that for a long time, longer than industry would want to admit, sports was always kind of an expectation like, well, you'll just come back to us. You know what I mean? And I think that the increasingly competitive media landscape has really changed that point of view, saying can't really take that for granted. Once in a 100-year pandemic, like can't take anything for granted. And you really need to go out and earn every interaction every time, which is like a challenge and a mindset I love. Like I don't want to take anything for granted. I really want us to say we as a team are consistently delivering the best product we can every day to make someone's life better. You know, there was a talk from the president of Nordstrom a long time ago and that I found very interesting. They talked about their company mission. And if I'm quoting him correctly, I believe Jamie Nordstrom said, our company mission is to make people feel great about themselves. Nothing to do with clothes, nothing to do with fashion, retail, or anything else. But I loved the framing of that and that we ultimately are helping, on the baseball side, are helping to create family experiences that can last a long time and provide a continued source of excitement, relief, inspiration, and passion. And I think that what I expect to tie back to your original question, what is the future of audience and entertainment? I think it's more about how do you inspire people? And that's something that I think we need to use technology in a way to do.
Totally agree. I think given your role, how do you think data will play a part in that?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is that we're not in a hand-to-hand combat phase, right? We need to be in a place where data is going to help people with their everyday enjoyment of baseball or entertainment in general. And data, to me, is going to be the building block that accelerates all that. You know, I used the term superpower earlier. To me, it's definitely that because there is kind of no faster way to learn something than to kind of use, you know, like scientific method of sorts and just say like, well, here's what I observed. And then, you know, let me create a hypothesis, test if it's true. And you can run that cycle over and over again until you start driving the results or the outcomes that you want. And without data, it's not necessarily objective, but it's traditionally quantitative, right? So you can say, all right, this is a structured system that I can build a model around and understand. Otherwise, it's just kind of like, who's the last person or the last executive you spoke to tell you something? That's not a great way to product manage necessarily.
I think one of the things that I've always loved that you've said in the past was, how do you make data magical for the user? The user doesn't necessarily care what you're doing on the back end, but how do you create that magical moment with data? I've always loved that.
Yeah, it's something we talk about a lot in our team. And it's really about like, how do you, it's either skipping a step, it's often a way to kind of create some magic, or it's, you know, to me, traditionally, like trying to just open someone's imagination. If you can do that, then I think they're much more ready to hear anything that you have to say instead of just a spreadsheet.
And when we think about broadening our imagination, we can't help but reference yet another classic movie, Field of Dreams.
Yes.
And it's almost fitting to have James Earl Jones come in with some type of reference to the movie, the constant throughout all of the years, baseball. The Field of Dreams is all about the past and, as you mentioned, the future. Purely enjoyable conversation here, but I think it's time for our question of the day. Okay, here's our question of the day. And Josh, so you know, this is a question from our audience, so answer it the best way you can. Hi, Chris. Our organization has a ton of data, and for the most part, we do a great job of leveraging that data to develop customer experiences. What we are struggling with is sharing that data across our organization. What might be some of the ways we can improve that process? So I think you've touched on some of this, but I am curious to hear from your perspective. How might somebody look at sharing data across their organization to create those really rich experiences you've been talking about?
Yeah, I'll give two examples. So one is our organization's unique in that we have what I would call franchise data, right? So like data that's specific to an MLB team that like sometimes it's not really appropriate based on data governance to share between teams, right? So like we have to put a lot of thought into basically how that gets sectioned and shared or not shared. And often, you know, a lot of teams will say, I want to see their data or I don't, et cetera. What they're often looking for is just the trend, right? So I would, you know, one takeaway I would recommend is that instead of trying to like focus on like just sharing all the data for the sake of sharing it, if you can report either aggregate numbers, cumulative numbers, that is typically really high impact with way less of the work. You can help understand these bigger patterns or, you know, within two standard deviations, whatever it is, to say like, here is what the larger audience is doing without having to go through and sweat like, okay, how do I share all these customer records, but obfuscate some IDs, et cetera. Like so just trying to get those smaller wins in because those build a lot of momentum. On the second front, less about kind of like who sees what and who doesn't on the, pretend you don't have like a franchise model. Transparency for us has been really critical. We've had a really big shift internally to say that all of our dashboards are public. And when we send out weekly status reports, monthly business reviews, we lead with data and we don't hide, good or bad. It is what it is. And having like a no blame culture to allow you to feel confident, you know, it's always worse when you don't tell somebody, right? So having a setup where people are confident in sharing the data and frankly want to share their problems, right? Like a great lesson I learned from a coworker is that the structure of those meetings, and really it's not even the meetings, the processes rather, people should want to share their problems because then everyone else will be there to help them solve it. You know what I mean? Something seems a lot more fixable if you know you have a team of people that are there to help you solve your problem instead of saying, well, Josh didn't make his numbers, so let's all like gossip about him or whatever, right? It's more about championing transparency. That is a more of a psychological and frankly, like emotional safety perspective that then makes the data way easier to share, right? It's not a technology problem. I can promise you that. It is much more of a business and process challenge that, you know, was never perfect, but I've really been thrilled with the progress we've made on it over the last couple of years.
Great answer. I fully agree with everything you said. I think those are excellent ways to address that question. Definitely from the business and cultural internal perspective, as opposed to the technology perspective. Google Cloud, with all the technologies we have, can clearly help you accomplish this. But you have to wrap your mind around it internally as a business organization to make it so. With that, thank you so much for joining us. It has been an absolute honor to have this conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, really nice to spend time with you. As always, Chris and Carrie, great to see you.
Good to see you too. Thanks.
And of course, thanks to all of you who are listening. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, you can find us online and throughout social media. And join us next week as we explore another innovative topic on That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.